What's up, lovely people, and happy hump day. Wednesday is hashtag your word Wednesday, so be on the lookout to see if your vocab word made it into today's show. Let's go to the Middle East, where U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in Israel for critical talks with top Israeli government officials. Blinken and the Biden administration are looking to keep their steady balancing act of keeping pressure on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government to curb its offensive and reduce harm to civilians in Gaza, while also giving support for Israel's decision to continue its military operation on the Hamas terrorists. Blinken has now made 5 visits to Israel since the October 7th Hamas attack. Another U.S. concern in the Middle East is the escalating tension with Iran as proxy groups target U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria and international ships in the Red Sea. CNN's Becky Anderson has more on Blinken's latest trip as he looks to de-escalate a possible wider war in the Middle East.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken shuttling around the region on his 4th trip as Israel's war in Gaza escalates tension around the Middle East. Jordan's King Abdullah warning on Sunday of catastrophic consequences of the continuing war in Gaza. From Jordan, Blinken went to Qatar, which has been instrumental in negotiating for the release of hostages held in Gaza. Qatar's Prime Minister saying the recent killing of the senior Hamas official by Israel could impact hostage negotiations.
Of course, having one of the senior leader of Hamas being killed is something that can affect such a complicated process. Yet we are not giving up. We are moving forward.
Well, that killing of a senior Hamas official inside Beirut in Lebanon, just one of the flashpoints escalating tensions since Blinken's last visit. The Americans also killing an Iran-backed militia leader in Iraq after an attack on a U.S. airbase. And the Iranian-backed Houthis continue to interrupt international shipping in the Red Sea last month, the U.S. announcing an international effort to deter Houthi attacks. But in this region where I am, very few countries willing to join that coalition to counter those threats.
From Qatar, Blinken came here to Abu Dhabi, meeting with the UAE President Mohammed bin Zayed. The trip also includes Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Israel and the West Bank, where officials say there will be tough conversations. But if Blinken's past visits are any indication, and with no sign of an end to Israel's assault on Gaza, his presence may not be enough to calm the region.
Let's go now to the powerful winter storm that moved fast across the central and eastern United States this week. The Storm Prediction Center said more than 40 million people were under severe storm watch Tuesday, with warnings spanning nearly every type of winter weather. Let's go to Mandy Gaither to hear a few tips on how to stay healthy and safe during all this wild winter weather.
From frigid air to ice and snow, cold temperatures can take a toll on our bodies.
We shunt blood flow to the central kind of core of our body in an attempt to stay warm.
Dr. Christopher Bazzoli is an emergency physician at Cleveland Clinic. He says this time of year, doctors not only see rises in ER visits for respiratory viruses as more people seek refuge inside from the cold, but also frostbite and hypothermia. Bazzoli says what you wear can help keep you safe. Protect the parts of your body most vulnerable to frostbite, like toes, fingers, nose, and ears, by dressing in warm, dry clothing.
Lots of layers, and especially the layers close to your skin. You want to have breathable fabrics if possible, especially if you're engaging in an activity.
Bazzoli says a sudden change in temperature and humidity can also irritate certain medical conditions like asthma. He says to make sure you have enough medicine on hand, and if you use an electric medical device, make sure you have a way to back it up if the power goes out. He says to also be aware of how you heat your home.
We don't want to run any engine-operated equipment or gas or propane-powered heating devices indoors because of the risk of carbon monoxide.
10-second trivia. How many Earth years does it take for Neptune, the 8th planet in our solar system, to complete one full orbit around the sun? 15 years, 29, 84, or 165? NASA says it takes 165 Earth years for Neptune to complete a circuit around the sun. That's a long time to wait between birthdays, man. All right, because we feel this show can be a bit much at times, we like to give you some space. Space news, and we're going to rock it out. Not 2 weeks into the new year, and we have already some stellar news, including the discovery of a pterodiddle about the color of Neptune. Our Jeremy Roth has more.
Aw, Neptune, why so blue? New evidence has revealed a colorful controversy involving a pair of comparable planets, and that's not all. This is a look at the planets Uranus and Neptune looking strikingly different as captured in 1989 by the Voyager 2 spacecraft. But a recent study by Oxford University found that those original images had actually been stretched and enhanced, resulting in a, quote, too artificially blue Neptune. Now newly reprocessed, the images show the planet's true colors and that they actually look quite similar. Talk about a color correction. But that's not all. The study also used images of Uranus gathered over the years to figure out why the planet appears to change colors with the seasons. The study says as the planet spins toward and away from the sun, a combo of varying gas and cloud coverage give way to a seemingly shifting hue. Now you know. In other interstellar news, we now have the most detailed look ever at Jupiter's moon Io, courtesy of the closest ever flyby by the spacecraft Juno. Scientists say Io is the most volcanic body in the solar system, and the new high-res images give an unprecedented look at the moon dappled with craggy volcanic features. By the way, am I the only one that thinks Io looks like the lightsaber training orb thingy from Star Wars? I am? Okie dokie. Well, that's 10 seconds we'll never get back. Finally, we leave you spaced out with a day in the life of Mars. Okay, technically it's half a day, 12 hours on the red planet, crammed into a trippy 10-second time lapse. It comes courtesy of Curiosity, the rover that's been there for more than 4,000 days that look just like this.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a perfect rescue by a ferocious feline that saves a pup from a coyote attack. CNN's Jeannie Mose has more.
6-year-old Oakley has a lovable face. She can do spins in exchange for a treat. But when she went out to do her business in the backyard of her Edmond, Oklahoma home, no amount of spinning would have saved her from the coyote that pounced if the family cat hadn't jumped in.
Is she a tough cat? Like, is she like a street cat? I mean, is she...
Yeah, she's a gangster.
Lane Dyer says Binks is a stray that he and his family take care of.
Her and Oakley hit it off pretty good from the beginning.
So when the first of two coyotes grabbed Oakley, it was Binks to the rescue, taking on the intruders, scaring them away, though not before Oakley suffered wounds that had blood
spouting out of her chest, unfortunately.
But with stitches and a splint, Oakley recovered a little over a month later.
And so
she yawns over the story of Binks saving her. Coyotes have become such a danger to small dogs that one owner created the coyote vest.
Done.
With spikes protruding from a Kevlar vest and even
a set of coyote whiskers.
Nylon bristles that at least look intimidating. But who needs a coyote vest?
I think she's shown that she's not afraid of much.
When the cat has your back.
All right, thanks to Miss Smith at Deering Middle School in West Warwick, Rhode Island for making us smarter today. Our hashtag Your Word Wednesday winner with pterodiddle, a noun meaning a fib or petty lie. Well done. Now, unfortunately, our visit to NASA Space Center here in Houston was pushed back due to weather delays for some of our crew, so I'm headed back to studio. But before I go, shout out time. This shout out goes to the judges in Mrs. Choi Shin's class at Benjamin N. Cardozo High School in Bayside Neighborhood, Queens, New York. Class dismissed. And this shout out goes to Mr. Webster's class at Summit View Middle School in Caldwell, Idaho. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. See you tomorrow, lovely people. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.